We regularly chat with the charity British Blind Sport. We highlight lots of sporting events and opportunities up and down the country for blind and partially sighted people of all ages. Now, as we approach the festive period, the charity has its annual Christmas appeal. Now, to tell us more, we have with us Elena McGregor, the Chief Exec. Elena, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, for our listeners who haven't heard of British Blind Sport, tell us a little bit more about the organisation.
We are the National Disability Sports Organisation that represents blind and partially sighted people right across the UK. And our mission really is to make sport and physical activity opportunities available to the visually impaired community. And sometimes that's through delivery ourselves, through a number of our own events. But importantly is also to work with partners, both from sight loss sector, but also the sporting sector to help them understand and provide them with tools to educate coaches and teachers to make sport more accessible, and also for the VI community itself to make them aware of what's going on in their local area.
I suppose when you talk about sport and visual impairments, you know, people probably think of things like goalball and maybe blind football, but there are so many sports out there which are accessible. So I suppose you get the opportunity to show people, you know, you can do judo, you can play hockey, you know, it doesn't really matter about your sight condition.
No, that's absolutely right. And that's something that we're very keen to put onto the sports sector as well, is to say, you know, small tweaks to your game or to your equipment for your game can really make a huge difference to making sport accessible. I think we've learned over the years that actually those small tweaks can be done very quickly, but it's actually changing people's perceptions that is the harder thing. We've had people who've been very honest with us and coaches say, I'm not sure how to welcome a VI person into a club. And similarly, we've had VI people say, well, I've had such poor experiences with sport, particularly potentially at school, that I don't think sport's for me. So we try and help both parties by saying, well, actually, you can tweak the equipment, but you need to make yourself accessible. You need to make yourself aware of what you can do to help this person feel welcome. And similarly, we say to a visually impaired person, come and have a go. You know, put past experiences behind you. Come and have a go at something you want to do as well. We're not going to enforce a sport on anybody. We're going to say, come and try. I mean, it could be something like Zumba. We work with even dance teachers who are welcoming visually impaired people into their classes. So there's a raft of things out there. It doesn't necessarily need to be sport. It's just about getting yourself active.
So I suppose you don't even have to think of yourself as a keep fit fanatic or, you know, a Paralympian of the future, because, you know, sport opens up so much. There's not just the health benefits. There's probably things like extending your social circle, improving your confidence, your independent mobility. There's lots of pluses here.
Alan, for me, myself, sport, it's interesting because I'm the CEO of British Blind Sport. And I often say to people, I don't see sport as our end goal. I see sport as the springboard for making change. And you've hit the nail on the head there, because actually being able to get people to become more active, the widening their social circle, developing spatial awareness, particularly amongst our younger members, but growing confidence and empowering people to make decisions for themselves. I don't know about yourself. As a child, sport was enforced upon you at school, whether you were sighted or visually impaired. And I've had very bad experiences of sport as a child, and sport turned me off. But then I found out what I liked to do, and that could be something simple as walking, or it could be tennis, or it could be Zumba, like I mentioned earlier, and actually say, this is to help you feel active and feel better about yourself. And you're right, we're not looking for the next Paralympian. It's fantastic when we have Paralympians. They're such inspiring individuals, but that's not what we're trying to achieve here.
And that attitudinal change, as you said, you know, that spreads to the sports or fitness world in general. You know, people may want to go to the local clubs, the local gym, sports centre, swimming pool. But, you know, one of the barriers to that could be, well, they won't know how to help someone with a visual impairment. You know, I don't feel comfortable going there because they may not feel comfortable. So I suppose, as you say, it's promoting in these areas that can make a huge difference. You know, make things more welcoming. And with visual impairment, you're not looking for massive financial investments to make your sports centre accessible.
No, you're not. And you know, again, over the years, I've been in person now nearly 8 years. And I think I'm constantly learning. We did a project some time ago about training some coaches And I feel bad about mentioning the sport because the sport in particular has been fantastic in recent years. But we'd worked with archery and we thought we knew what we were doing. We've helped all these coaches and they're really good at archery for VI people now and they're going to make it accessible. And I had a man ring me one day and he said to me, I saw your advertising about archery and I went down to the local club and the girl on reception said, I'm sorry, we don't know how to help with your problem. Now, that really hit home to me. This isn't just about the coaches that we're training and making aware of visual impairment. This is everybody. Because if it doesn't matter if the coach is the best coach in the world. And again, I'm not being critical of archery because I'm sure there's been a lot of experience in lots of sports like that. But what the point was, is our person, our VI person, couldn't get past the first hurdle because somebody on reception didn't know what to do and was scared and unsure and made a statement that was completely inappropriate. So we worked with that club and we enabled all of the staff to help make visually impaired people welcome. And that was a huge learning for us. That was about 5 years ago. The learning is that getting the coach to understand the tools is something. Getting the workforce to understand how to welcome visually impaired people is actually the key as well.
So lots of work being done by British Blind Sport to make sport accessible, achievable, I suppose you could say. And part of that, you know, is the Christmas appeal, because BBS is a charity, you know, that takes funds to do all this fantastic work. So tell us about the appeal.
Well, the appeal is really focusing on children living with sight loss. We have a project called First Steps. We ran a pilot in Scotland just over 2 years ago now. And it was amazing. We worked with 120 families and we provide the children with a pack, with an activity ball with a bell in it, a booklet about what activities they can do. It could be rolling the ball, catching the ball. There's stickers that they can put on the ball, give the ball a bit of a personality. It's a jingle ball. And then they have a sticker chart, because all kids love sticker charts, of their achievements. We did a lot of work with that. We worked with physios and play therapists on the activities. We worked with designers to make the activity book something that was readable for people that are partially sighted in terms of using bold colours and bold outlines, etc. And it's been a fantastic project. We had 100% of the parents saying they thought it was a fantastic idea. We had 89% of the children showing improvements in their mobility and their physical fitness. So we know that this works. So we started rolling out a project in Yorkshire with 50 children there. It's all about funding. At the end of the day, Alan, it's all about the bottom line. So I want to help all of the 25,000 children living with sight loss. In an ideal world, all of the children would have this pack. The reality is we're a very small organisation. So we look for regional funding, and we've been very successful with York, and we've got a young lady working up there at the moment doing some great work with families. But this Christmas appeal is really trying to establish a more national approach and awareness to the project and trying to get raise money so that we can buy more and more of these packs and be able to provide them to families. The worst thing in the world is if, the money that we've had for Yorkshire, for instance, which is great and we're very grateful to the funder, is if a family hears about it and let's say they live in Derbyshire and they ring up and say, well, we'd like a First Steps pack. We don't want to be able to turn around and say, well, you can't, you don't live in Yorkshire. And we are looking for funding in other areas. We've just been successful with some packs for the Northwest and for the East Midlands, and we'll be advertising for that post soon. But actually, we want to be in a position where it doesn't matter where you live, you can access the pack.
It's great that it makes such a huge improvement for the children themselves. You know, at an early age, it's crucial to build the confidence and they feel that they can take part in sports, albeit the ball game at first, but what that can lead on to. And also, I suppose, the parents as well. I mean, some of them may be quite hesitant about the little ones with visual impairments taking on ball games and sports. So great to hear that, 100% of parents were loving it.
That's the key for me, and that's the driver for me. I have a child who has a disability. It's not a visual impairment, but I know as a parent of a child with a disability, you do tend to wrap them up in cotton wool a little bit more. Now, if you go back to the children living with sight loss and that particular impairment, you've got to remember that we're all visual learners. Watch your child watching you brush your teeth and then they try and have a go. You see these things. My daughter didn't crawl until she was nearly two, and a friend brought her 10-month-year-old down and round, and I'd been trying to get my daughter to do it for a long time. And my friend's 10-month-old started crawling, and my daughter copied her. And that was a real pivotal moment in my life. But that's because we're visual learners. So our children are already, when I say our children, I'm talking all of the children living with sight, they're already in a back foot because they haven't necessarily got that. They haven't got that rough and tumble with their brothers and sisters that actually help their core strength. And then you've got the parents wrapping them up in cotton wool a little bit. I spoke to a lady the other day, an elderly lady on the train. She was chatting to me, and I told her about this particular project. And she said, I've never thought about that. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, if you're 4 or 5 years of age and you can't see and your friends are rolling down a hill or something, or running or playing TIG, or she said, how scary must that be? And I said, absolutely, that will be really scary. So the chances are they may not do it. And then that is affecting their physical well-being and eventually their mental well-being as well in the long term. So I see the First Steps Pack as an absolute crucial part of the early learning for young children living with sight loss.
So the Christmas appeal this year, looking to grow the funding to provide more of these First Steps Packs and all the support that goes with that as well. How does it work then? How do you raise the funds?
Well, we're really lucky that the Big Give, which is a national programme, it's the UK's biggest online match funding campaign, and certain charities are selected. And we've been lucky, very lucky to be chosen. So from midday Tuesday, which is the 27th of November, to Tuesday, the 4th of December, for every pound somebody gives to the campaign, then the Big Give will double it. So our target at the moment is we're hoping to raise £2,500. But in essence, if we are able to do that through the Big Give, we will actually get £5,000. And that will help an enormous amount of children. Each pack costs us about £20. So, you know, you can do the math. We're going to help a lot of kids there. So, for instance, if somebody gives us £25, it's actually worth £50. If somebody were to make a £100 donation, it's actually worth £200. So it's a small give, really. If you give a pound, it's worth two. It's a small give to increase the motor skills, confidence, and empower these children to develop a physical activity habit for life, really.
Doubling your money with just a single donation, that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
How do people do that then? How do they make those donations?
Right. Well, we're saying to people, don't do it yet. Do it from midday of Tuesday, the 27th of November. And if they go into the Big Give website, they just put in the word Big Give and it will come up, and then it asks you which charity to give to, and you put British Blind Sport, and then it's as simple as that. I actually tried it yesterday just to see how it worked, and then I thought, oh, I'm not making my donation yet, so I want it to be doubled. But the steps were really, really simple. It was really simple.
So there you go, make a difference to British Blind Sport's First Steps with the Big Give. Elena, best of luck with that, and thank you for telling us all about it on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much, and happy Christmas to you.